Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. We'll post a link to that website below. Joel, let's start with this kind of crazy volatility that we're seeing in the U.S. equity markets. Going back to yesterday too, because yesterday really looked like the markets were quite simply falling out of bed. They were dropping all day long, and that's after closing last week very poorly. It was looking like possibly a couple thousand point down days in the Dow, back-to-back days, but last hour of trading, markets rebound, and then starting today, they are, well, kind of fighting their way into positive territory again. Joel, what do you take away from this crazy volatility, but at least in the last, let's say, 4 hours of trading dating back to yesterday, we're getting a little bit more bullishness, I guess?
Yeah, wow. Good afternoon, Chad and Corey. Thanks for having me. I think you have to look at a couple things from the Friday, Monday action. You know, from Thursday's high down to that intraday low that you had yesterday, that was 150 handle drop, which is, you know, a big handle, you know, a big percentage and a big move. And then it comes at a time at the beginning of the month, right, when theoretically fund managers have money to work. So I think it was people looking into the abyss, you know, we're going to get killed. We took out the yearly low, and fund managers having, some money to put to work. So I think that's a combination of those two factors that had the explosive rally. Also, there's like people that are a little consensus out there that, you know, maybe the Fed is actually getting ahead of this inflation thing. And of course, we're going to have the rate hikes tomorrow. But what if, and I'm just giving, you know, it's all about hypothetical scenarios. You know, what if Powell says something to the effect of we're seeing some easing in the pricing pressure? Without actually leaking the data. So I think it's the confluence of those three things that have provided the boost in the market. And you're right, it's over the last 4 hours. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Joel, and the other thing I'm noting today is that the 10-year is down about 2%. You know, so some of the interest rates are coming down. That may be an anticipation of what you just covered, that maybe people are feeling a little bit better about the Fed, and maybe they're feeling a little bit better about inflation starting to tick down when you look at the year-over-year metrics. Could the interest rates pulling back and the fact that most of this 50 basis point hike has been priced in already just give mm-hmm. people the confidence to jump in and take a stab at some of these companies that have been sold off hard?
Yeah. And what was interesting yesterday was that, the growth tech came back a little bit. So, money moving around, you know, getting out of those stocks that everyone was hiding in and, getting a little bit more risk on. It's not really being reflected in Bitcoin, but, you know, money moves around and they're sick of being in, you know, the utilities, and the energy has come off and looking for a new home. So the market's getting a little bit risky.
Trying to give some light to some of those risk on stocks that, boy, they've been hated now for 4 or 5 months. When it comes to data, Joel, we recently had some job opening data that is at record highs. We've seen some extremes in some of the recent data. However, it's almost like the market is getting used to these extremes and some pretty bad misses off of estimates. And then the market carries it over to Fed policy. So we get some counterintuitive moves. What do you think data-wise actually matters?
CPI. That's the main thing that matters. You know, you come in with a soft number. I mean, people will say, well, the actual numbers below S, you know, is really below where it really is. I only can deal with the information that they give me. If, you know, you're going to have one heck of a rally. I'm just, like I said, hypothetical situations. If inflation's running at 9.5% and it comes in at 8.5, 8.6, then, you know, then the bulls are going to be charging. So I'm looking at the CPI data. You have a jobs number coming out on Friday. I don't think that's going to be a big, that big of a number. I think people are looking for the people that are looking for us to immediately fall into a recession. It takes a little bit of time. You know, it just doesn't happen immediately. So CPI, and that's what the market is going to be focused on.
Well, Joel, just another data point to keep in mind is how the world is reacting to the Chinese lockdowns. There are some cities finally starting to open up a little bit, but others are just locking down for the first time. And for global corporations, that's a big deal. I mean, I saw about four or five articles out this morning, one talking about oil slipping because of Chinese demand, Estee Lauder concerned about their revenues because of Chinese demand. But I also see things like Dairy Queen's excited about China and India and wants to go open more stores there. So what's your take on how the markets that are global, you know, international companies may be reacting to the Chinese news, the second biggest economy in the world?
Well, you know, I wish I had a better read on what was going on over there. I mean, it's very concerning what's going on. It's hard to get, the necessary information, but that's going to affect the supply chains. It has a lot of negative ramifications, and you know, we haven't had that here. So, man, I just have to go on the information that they're giving us, and it definitely is going to have a ripple effect here. I don't know how, they're dealing, with the situation the way that, they deem possible. But, boy, oh, boy, it is concerning, and it's something you have to definitely, if you're, looking at the long-term investing, that's what you got to look at, and you got to think about what that potential impact's going to be.
Yeah, it's just so hard to know even what China is going to do, especially when they're taking a very different stance on COVID. And yeah, they disrupt all supply chains. So it's a problem that we've had, though, for the last little bit. And we are seeing issues with supply chains. Joel, do you think that the U.S. can even do anything about that, though? That's the thing, right? The Fed's trying to fight inflation, trying to sort out the economy. But then they have China, a major player in the global economy, going on a completely different path. So their hands are tied. They can't control what China's doing. That trickles into the economy then.
Well, did they have the same, I don't know what their vaccination rates are over there, where they're at. So it is, I mean, there's so many unknowns out there and so many things, to be, supply chain, China, COVID, Russia, and then the market reacts like it does on Friday and Monday, and then you're just left shaking your head on days like this. And so there's a lot of things. I mean, the one thing the market doesn't like is uncertainty, and there's a lot of uncertainty out there, and we've had just a vicious rally off yesterday's low. So sometimes you can make sense of the market, and then sometimes the market makes sense out of you.
Well, one area the market's making, I don't even know if it's making sense out of people, but it's sure beating them up a little bit, is the commodity space, and also even in the precious metal space. Some of that may be also tied to China because they're big buyers of all commodities, also big buyers of the precious metals. But we've also had a really strong dollar, Joel, up around 103.50. What do you make of the commodity space? What do you make of the precious metals in this kind of environment?
Precious metals, I mean, we've talked about them being in a trading range. I think the commodity trade got overcrowded. Everyone on Twitter was long the commodities, making a gazillion dollars. And, you had an exit. With commodities, they run until they stop running. And then they turn. So I just think it's more of like an overcrowded trade. Gold is just gold. And, we talk about it. I mean, that move up to 2000 just so quickly gave it back. I think you just have to look at it as it's just a trading range vehicle, and that's what it is. Briefly hit 2,000 last month, and then back down to 1850 today. So not the safe haven for inflation that everyone wanted, more of a trading range vehicle.
So Joel, is that what gold is in then? Simply a trading range, or does it have a direction to you?
If I'm looking at the monthly chart here, I mean, we touched 1,700 briefly in 21. We've spent very little time over 2,000, and if you carve out most of the action, you get a lot of action between 1,800 and 1,900, and when it gets under 1,800, obviously you had those July 21 lows. It's just a trading range, but it's like a moving target trading range. Like, is it going to be? You think 1,950 to 2,000, boom, kills 1,950. No, 1900 to 1950, boom, can't hold 1900. So looks like we did find a little bit of support here at the February low, 1850. So now maybe people are just going to just do a short-term trade up to 1900. If it proves to get through 1900, then you could think about 1950. But, 2000, that just really brought out the sellers there in late April.
Well, Joel, maybe just one more thing to discuss is we're kind of in the middle of our earnings reports, and there's a lot of companies bringing in numbers that are, it's the old game of hit the number, miss the number, exceed the number. But is there anything that stands out to you out of the reports you've seen of companies doing a great job or companies tanking because they didn't do a great job?
I mean, a lot of it's the guidance. They're coming out with decent quarters, but the guidance, I mean, also Apple, you know, Apple's report, I mean, they rallied $7 on the day that they reported, and then they got, you know, tacked onto that. So there's definitely, you know, a little bit, you know, the higher prices are slowing things down. And it's when you're watching these earnings reports, it's not so much what they're doing for the quarter, it's what their guidance is. And so far, it's been okay.
All right, Joel, we're going to wrap it up here. Look, fact of the matter is all eyes are on tomorrow's Fed meeting and statement and what Powell has to say about future guidance when it comes to rate hikes. Oh, no one knows what he's going to say, quite frankly. It does seem like there's a 50 basis point hike baked in, but where we go from here, who knows? And who knows if Powell even addresses the China lockdown or inflation. It's going to be an interesting day and undoubtedly some volatility on the back of that. We don't actually usually see this much volatility heading into a Fed meeting. So who knows what we're going to get on the back end of that. But gives us something to talk about next week. So hey, Joel, have a great rest of your week. We'll chat next week. Thanks again for your time.